9:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Hetherington, and this is Meet the People. My guest this morning is Walt Monaghan. He is the former police chief of Anchorage, Alaska, and public safety commissioner of Alaska. Good morning, Mr. Monaghan.
Good morning, Kel. How are you?
I'm all right. So you're now running for mayor of Anchorage. How did you decide to do that?
Well, it was an opportunity that was afforded to me because I suddenly had a lot of free time. But honestly, it had been something that it was more suggested to me even before I retired as chief of police. And I probably would have thought more seriously of it, but then I got a job with the state.
Mm. Well,
my motive actually is pretty simple. The concise answer is that I love the state, I love the people that live in Anchorage, and I'm still committed to try to make a difference.
What are some of the ideas you have to change Anchorage as mayor?
Well, I think that one of the things we haven't done so well as a city is that we haven't stepped up and greeted all our visitors as well as I think we should, and whether they come from Chivac or Sandpoint or Atlanta. And I think that one of the things that we have done, certainly we have a lot of stores and restaurants and activities, but I don't think we do well enough in trying to encourage people to come or I'll have them have a better time when they're here.
Mm.
Realistically, a few years back when Fairbanks, for example, hosted AFN, what they did was phenomenal. I mean, they went out and greeted delegates as they came in from all over the bush. They gave them maps. They did all sorts of stuff to make them feel welcome. And I guess in hindsight, Anchorage had just been taking for granted that we were going to continue to do that. To me, I thought it was a great wake-up call.
Well, on your website, you discuss ideas for the economy of Anchorage and for the state at large. Now, the city has just set up this new convention center. Isn't that an unprecedented action that will increase the number of tourists and visitors to Alaska and Anchorage in particular?
It will. I mean, it's a great draw. It's a great venue. And, of course, we live in a great state. I mean, the places that you can jump from here, because this is a good jumping spot to head out to all over different parts of the state, it's great. But I think, again, as a city, there's some things I would like to do. I mean, a lot of major communities, for example, if you travel down to America, you will see what they do, places like Boulder, Colorado, or Miami, Florida. There will be a section of the downtown area that's designated to be a pedestrian-only area. You know, the streets are blocked off. And what used to be the streets would be people could wander all over. There could be little kiosks or booths set up for people selling art or pottery or anything. I mean, and make it just a two-block area in the downtown Anchorage to allow visitors to do a little shopping and enjoy the outside. In addition, the thing that I think we could do as well is that on the steps of the old city hall, which would be part of these two blocks, is set up scheduled performances by our very talented native dancers, or some kind of showcase some of our other communities that have since immigrated to Anchorage. You know, like there's about a half a dozen little 8 or 9 year old Hmong girls from Thailand, and they're in costume. They have this very stylistic dance. They're just enjoyable to watch. And so if you kind of combine that with that downtown area, it makes it a great place to just eat a hot dog and watch people and do some shopping and take in some of the sights. So as opposed to just walking the sidewalks and walking into stores, which is fun by itself sometimes, but
now,
let's make it a little bit of a carnival area.
Sure. Now, coming from someone who used to live in Anchorage, And, you know, now lives in the bush where there is relatively no traffic out. There's no traffic at all. Well, you think of Anchorage as a congested city, and people in Anchorage also see a lot of congestions, particularly at rush hour. If we close more streets in Anchorage, won't that make the traffic problem even worse?
Except the area that I'm looking at to affect this is two blocks on 4th Avenue, which is not a high traffic area for any of the rush hour traffic.
Mm.
Rush hour traffic is usually 5th Avenue and in the morning, and 6th Avenue in the afternoon.
All right.
So
you're right.
4th Avenue is not.
That is a kind of a corner of the city that is surrounded by the river going by, or actually the ocean there. You also discussed some ideas for new transportation initiatives that you would like to see a Monaghan administration bring to fruition in Anchorage. One that caught my eye that appears on your website, which is www.monaghanformayor.com, in the issues section, is you want nonprofits to provide courtesy vans. Would those take the place of taxi cabs?
No, they would augment taxi cabs. Right now, we only have 166 taxi cabs in this city for a population that has over 272,000 people. That's not a lot of cabs. And what we see is that during peak demand times, you know, like during the holidays I hate to say this, but during bar closures at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, if you call because you were out partying with your friends, that you may end up having to wait 45 minutes to an hour and a half for a cab to come available.
Mm.
And one of the things that, as a former police officer, as a retired cop, we see a spike in assaults, especially sexual assaults, right at that time period from the downtown area. So if we were able to encourage nonprofits, for example, to explore the idea of having or making up vans that they would be part, they could put advertisement on the outside. You know, this is the standing together against rape, or Star Van, or the other one, the abused women in crisis shelter, the Awake shelter, and they could put that on the outside of the vans. But the money that they would collect from their riders could augment their running finances for their nonprofits, because I'm afraid, like I mentioned in the site, that state and federal money will be coming a little tighter to keep these nonprofits operating. So in my thinking, they're not going to replace them. They're going to augment them.
Hmm. It's certainly a creative idea. Also, you want to recreate truck routes to make trucks go around the city of Anchorage. How would you do that?
Well, right now, the trucks have a tendency to drive right down the middle of downtown. And honestly, they're not just the streets down there, especially some of the renovated ones. That's a lot of pounding with extra weight, plus it just disrupts traffic, and it's a high pedestrian area. There are routes that the trucks could take that avoid the downtown core area. And I would have work with the Department of Transportation, the State Department of Transportation, and the City Traffic Department, make sure that we can route these trucks so that they're not so much passing through in front of Nordstrom's or in front of the convention center like they are currently, and keep them off of the down and more in the industrial area, and limit their access to, like, C Street,
mm.
which is where they can get down into Midtown or eventually down to Gamble and out the Seward Highway.
Chief Monaghan, you were in the police force or on the police force for 35 years. Do you believe that you might find it difficult as mayor of Anchorage to not get constantly involved in the police department and to stay focused on the business of running the city?
Actually, just a minor correction. I was with the police department, Anchorage Police, for 33 years. and the other two, almost two, were set with the state. But that's a good question. Realistically, I could tell you from past experience that everything that seemed to happen around in other areas, you know, failed policies, broken promises, some budget cut over in some other area, seem to have a trickle-down effect into the laps of the police department. And so what I would concentrate, what I'd want to concentrate, is make sure that we can stop victimization, we can stop crime, by making sure that what we do elsewhere, whether it be education, parks, supporting the arts, whatever it takes, that we can keep people busy enough so that they never end up having to be contacted by the police. So it's a preventative role in my mind.
Now, how has the media reacted to your announcement that you would run for mayor of Anchorage?
Well, I think the question probably most often asked is, was it because of what happened last summer? And honestly, the only thing I would say is that my termination from the state gave me the opportunity to explore this. And, you know, I firmly believe that if I were elected mayor, I'd be able to sit down and discuss the issues with the governor just as readily, and she'll be just as professional as I will be. I know that...
I think that a lot of people are coming to see, maybe you have firsthand, that there are some major problems in the Palin administration. Now, just to go back and... For those of you who may remember the name Walt Monaghan but may not be able to place it in the news headlines that you've seen in the last year, he was dismissed in July 2008 by Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. And then Palin drew considerable attention, particularly after Palin's selection as the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party in August of 2008. How do you view the Palin administration?
Well, I think they have some serious issues that they have to address. And in my personal opinion, if I were in the position to offer some advice, it would be focus on the needs of the state, the people of the state. Don't get caught up in the media. If you do the job that you were hired to do, everything else will fall away. And that would be my advice to the governor as well as the rest of her commissioners. It's, you know, we all voted for a leader, and whether your particular vote was the one that actually got elected or not, the focus is that the leader has a responsibility not only to manage the state, but to provide all of us some degree of hope. And sometimes I think a lot of the leaders forget about that. And, you know, that they're more than managers. They are individuals that people, anyone, any citizen should be able to approach and say, I think I have a problem here, or have you ever thought about this? It might work out better. And they should be willing to listen to that. And having that accessibility, that willingness to step up and say, I'm here for you, is what makes the difference. And I think that the governor could do better than that.
Well, your points about some things need to be changed in the Palin administration, and they need to remember who it is they are working for and who put them in power, the people of Alaska, come to mind when I read comments like the ones in Wikipedia, and which say that you were under pressure to fire Trooper Wooten. Is that true? Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, it is.
And Palin was putting you and the people, her aides, were saying, you know, try to find a reason to fire him because of something he did in the past, which I'm reading a report that says an internal investigation found that all the allegations were unsubstantiated. Is that true?
No, actually, the big part of the issue against Trooper Wooten, I mean, all the things that basically that came to light initially, all happened. The incident happened like 4 years ago. The report came in a couple of years after that, because then he was going through a divorce with the governor's sister. And both Todd and Sarah went to the troopers to complain. They were not governor or first gentleman at the time. They complained to the troopers about it. The troopers investigated it. They determined that part of the allegations were true, and they disciplined Trooper Wooten. This all happened before she became governor and before I became commissioner. And so when she became governor, the first time I even heard of Trooper Wooten was my first month on the job, and I was invited to the governor's office in Anchorage here to meet the first gentleman. And it was just him and I. The governor was not part of that meeting. And basically, he was telling me about all the bad things that he thought that Trooper Wooten did.
Hmm.
He told me that it had been investigated, but all he got was a slap on the wrist. And he wanted me to look over all this old paperwork. So I did. And there was nothing new in it. And so the case was closed. I could do nothing. It would be like, Cal, if somebody charged you with some kind of minor crime, and then they turned around and you went to court on it, you had your deal, and it's done. You served your sentence. And then somebody says, well, you know, Cal didn't get enough of a sentence. Well, you can't go back. I mean, you've already been tried for that and punished for it. It's called double jeopardy, and we can't do that. By law, we can't do that.
Mm.
So they were not happy.
For standing up for this guy, Trooper Wooten, who may have done wrong in the past, but had already suffered the consequences for his, you know, actions in the past, you were terminated.
Yeah, it took a bunch of months because I think altogether between the contacts that I received, the trooper colonel received, the deputy commissioner received, and my special assistant that headed the department's human resource section, I think altogether we received something like almost three dozen contacts by the governor's staff or fellow commissioners on Trooper Wooten. And so when you ask, did we feel pressure? Sure. Could we do anything about it? No. And we couldn't. The law prohibits it. Most people didn't understand, and apparently maybe because of things like Wikipedia, that if he had done something under my watch, then maybe we could have addressed it in a different manner. But in fact, all that was investigated, done, punished before I was commissioner or before Sarah Palin was governor.
Turning our conversation back to the campaign that you are making right now for Mayor of Anchorage, on your website you say that often political campaigns get to be more about the political candidate than about the cause or the effort that he or she is undertaking to try to change something for the people he will represent. How is your campaign different, and how are you going to make sure that your campaign does not become all about Chief Walt Monaghan?
Because when I was Chief Walt Monaghan, when I was Commissioner Walt Monaghan, all the things that I had done were not about me. My job, I clearly understood it, was to make your life better, to make it safer as best way as I possibly could. In fact, there was last summer I ran into a retired APD officer. He was a crotchety old guy, and that he retired right after I made chief. And he saw me walking across the parking lot, and so he intercepted me, and he said, Walt, do you remember the night you made chief? You came into our fallout shift and you told all of us senior officers, you remember what you said to us? And I said, no, I honestly don't. He said, you told all of us that I may be chief, but the next person that you make a traffic stop on, the next house that you enter, the next person that you lift up out of a gutter, they are your bosses.
Mm. Yeah.
So and I hate to say that, Cal, because you know, my grandma, who was Yupik, my grandfather was Tlingit, grandma would be slapping me silly because I'm boasting about myself, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, you're campaigning for political office, and that's all part of this game that we call politics. So that's okay. So, but how is your campaign? So your work as a police officer, I'm to understand, is going to help you focus more on the people because, if I understand correctly, you understand their stories and the way they need to be represented. Is that correct?
That would be a very concise way of saying it. You know, I've looked at the city from the bottom up. Let's put it that way. And I've met many, many people. I've helped them. I've arrested them. But it's after all the years that I've done this, I don't think I still want to assist. I still want to help. I still want to try to make people's lives better. And it isn't about me. It's about you. And that's what it should be. But the elected official's job is to focus on the people that they serve, the ones who elected him, the ones who hired him or her to that position.
Now,
and I just want to honor that.
You talk a lot, and that goes with what you write on your website. You talk about a social contract.
Mm-hmm.
What is, in your mind, the meaning of those words, social contract?
You know, we all give up some of our individual rights and feelings, so to speak, to live in a society. I mean, you can't do anything you want in a society without some kind of consequence. And so agreeing to that and actually paying a tax or a fee to the group of society so that you don't have to worry about importing food for yourself or manufacturing your own clothes or the function of government, so to speak, that fee goes to. So what you do is you give a little to get something back. That's the social contract. And most people give, we all give. We give it to Uncle Sam. If you have a state, well, in some cases, state taxes, you have to do that. You have local taxes. You pay. But what you're to get back is roads that are drivable, plowed, protection. To some degree, you're going to get some medical assurances. That's the social contract. It's so that we can all live in a group or a society or a community with a common understanding in a safe area.
Now, following up on that question, I'm looking at some of the information on your website about your thoughts on education. You want to refocus the curriculum of public schools. And how exactly, where do you want to refocus that curriculum? And what do you want public schools to look like after a Monaghan administration has worked with the superintendent, probably Carol Como, to make these changes?
Well, Carol is actually a very delightful lady, and she's very talented. And I think that she's struggling to try to get students to achieve that passing grade and decrease the amount of dropouts, like we all superintendents should do. But maybe what we're not doing, and maybe what we should be doing, is instead of allowing everybody to focus all over, you know, like I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this, let's get them prepared for two things, either college or life with vocational education, meaning that if you decide that you didn't want to go to college, I mean, you want to become a diesel mechanic because there's good money in it, it's a good job, you have instant gratification when you walk away from a piece of work that you just did and you feel good about it, I fixed that bulldozer, which you don't get in a lot of other jobs. But you want to do that rather than go to college. Well, let's do something so we can actually prepare our youth to step up and take our places, whether they go into academia and pursue college and become the professionals that they do, teachers and lawyers and doctors that we obviously need, or that they become firefighters or mechanics or police officers, the other people that we have to have too. But I don't think we are doing well enough in allowing that focus to go. And that's why I'd be sitting down with Carol to try to get that done.
Well, a final question here. Are you seeking the Democratic or the Republican nomination? And how is your fundraising going so far?
Well, actually, the position of mayor for Anchorage is a nonpartisan position. And I've been asked to describe what my party affiliations are. And I've always been an undeclared. I've never been a Democrat, never been a Republican. And so one gentleman one time I was talking to him, and he said, well, tell me about yourself. And so I started to describe what I believe in pretty good detail. And he said, you are a fiscal conservative and a social liberal.
Hmm.
So I guess it puts me right in the middle.
I asked that question because I didn't see any reference to party affiliation on your site.
Yeah, and I'm not. I'm an undeclared. There are planks in each party's platform that I agree with and that I disagree with. And honestly, I think politics sometime lost the focus, no matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, or whatever. The focus of that particular politician is to make their constituents' lives better. And that you could say that there are common philosophies in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, but they should not overshadow what the focus of that particular politician should be. And that is, again, making somebody's life a little easier.
Oh, well, and then final question, when is the election for Mayor of Anchorage?
It is April 7th, though if we do not get a clear winner, meaning 45% plus one vote, I guess, here in Anchorage, then because there are so many candidates, there is a strong likelihood that there will be a runoff election, which will be on May 5th, and that will be between the two top vote-getters.
Would you favor that? There are a couple of candidates already in the race. You probably are a name that a lot of people already recognize. So likely you would want a quick election. Wouldn't that be best for you?
Well, honestly, the way the last poll I just heard, it came out yesterday. Somebody just came and they told it over on another radio station. There are so many people running that no one, I think there's a very significant portion of people who are yet undecided. But the front runner is Dan Sullivan. And the next person, the one in second place, if you will, is myself.
Hmm.
And then the third one is the acting mayor currently. And then there's a bunch of progressives that follow after that. The point is, I think, that if it gets down to a choice, it's going to be somebody who, Dan Sullivan, who's a Republican and a conservative, and then somebody who kind of will hopefully pick up the everything else. And I would like that, obviously, to be me.
Yeah. So, now, how much is he leading by in the polls right now? You're in second place. Sullivan's in first place. What's the margin between the two of you?
Well, right now, if you were to believe the poll that they put out, and I haven't seen it, I just heard it over the radio, but Dan's got a commanding 24% of those who have decided, and I'm next at 11.
24 to 11, yeah. So you've got some work to do. You got to change that. You got to get on the airwaves everywhere you possibly can. Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is that there's a lot of other, there's a total of, 14 other candidates, and so that there's percentages all diced up after that. I mean, Matt has 11, Sheila Selkirk has 10. I mean, if you just add those, myself and those three up, then we beat Dan. So it boils down to trying to find, to make the runoff, and then I think the support will be coalesced into a better representation.
It's always an interesting race for mayor in Anchorage. You often have many, many people out there in the field. And you're right, it's going to coalesce into a few different leading candidates. And I think you'll be one at the end of the day. You know, you've got Sullivan to beat, and we'll see what happens. And maybe we could have you back on in the near future before Election Day.
Sounds good.
Okay, Chief Monaghan, thanks for being our guest this morning. I'll let you go now.
All right, thanks, Cal.
All right. That was Chief or Commissioner Walt Monaghan just on the phone with us, talking to me from Anchorage. I'll meet the people this morning about his race for mayor of Anchorage. He is in a hard-fought battle with a guy named Sullivan, who is right now in the lead, according to at least one poll, as you heard Walt himself say. And hopefully we'll have some of these other candidates on the show in the coming week or weeks. Again, I'm Kels Hetherington. That was Walt Monaghan, who is running for mayor in Anchorage. You can find more about his campaign for mayor at www.monaghanformayor.com or by going to www.apradio.org. Now we'll return to Science Friday, already in progress from NPR News in Washington, D.C.